It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Joining us now on the program, we've been doing this every single Saturday on the show, going in reverse from game number 12 up to next week against the Utes. And so we're working our way up. We're almost there to previewing Utah next week. But before we get to the Utes, we got to talk about the week two opponent, and that's the Tennessee Volunteers. And this is a game that I'm really excited. We're going to be out there in Knoxville for BYU and Tennessee. And to talk some Tennessee football, we got Blake Topmeyer, Tennessee football beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel, joining us now. And Blake, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, excited to have you on board here. And yesterday there was some interesting news coming out of Knoxville. The alcohol sales now going to be taking place at Neyland Stadium. And just so happens the first game is going to be against BYU.
Yeah. The maiden voyage comes that BYU game. And of course, as you probably know the backstory with that, the SEC was the lone Power Five conference who was still sort of in the prohibition era. The only way you could buy alcohol at SEC stadiums before this year was you had to be in a premium seating area. And the SEC's logic was, you know, those areas are more closely monitored. Well, this year the SEC presidents voted to lift that ban. And so now it was left up to the individual institutions to decide whether they want to sell, it's just beer and wine, whether they want to sell beer and wine in general seating areas or not. And, Tennessee, on Friday became the sixth SEC school to vote, to have alcohol sales in general seating areas, beginning this year.
Why are they not starting it for the home opener and the season opener against Georgia State on August 31st?
I think just some of the logistics of getting it in place. Tennessee was always kind of known to be in favor of if this ban was lifted, they wanted to do the alcohol sales. But it was just once the ban then got lifted, they had to go through the process of getting a liquor license and go through the process of, you know, getting it set up in the stadium and kind of go through the training and make sure the safety precautions are on place. And so I think just from the logistics of getting it ready 1 week sooner, made it difficult. And so I think that's really the reasoning why it's week two and not week one. I don't think it's anything beyond that of just giving them an extra week of making sure all their ducks are in a row.
Well, I got to say the jokes write themselves because BYU being 22 years of being the most stone cold sober school, it's kind of funny to think that the first game for Tennessee in alcohol sales is going to be against the Cougars. That should be a really good game on September 7th, BYU and Tennessee. It's going to be prime time, nationally televised. Tell us a little bit about how camp has been going so far for the Vols.
Well, I think it's, you know, a season of optimism for Tennessee. Last year, first year under Jeremy Pruitt, I think Tennessee fans had tempered expectations last year. And, you know, they were going into the final 2 weeks of the season. They needed one win to get to a bowl game, and then they just got boat raced by Missouri and Vanderbilt. And so I think that kind of left a sour taste into the offseason. But, of course, now you're to the point where last season's put to bed and hope springs eternal again. And so many returners are back for the Vols that I think there is a lot more optimism around this season. But I gotta say this BYU game, I think a couple weeks ago, I ranked my five most compelling games on Tennessee's schedule this year. And I put BYU number one. I think this is, you know, one of the more interesting games on Tennessee's schedule. I think it's going to be an early indicator of what type of team the Vols got because, you know, as you well know, BYU is more than capable of going on the road and beating a Power Five opponent. So I think this is a challenge. you know, here in week two, and will offer some sort of indication of whether this really is going to be a better season or not for Tennessee.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting matchup. Talking with Blake Topmeyer here, Tennessee football beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel, talking some Tennessee football. Cougars going to take on the Vols September 7th, and of course, you'll hear all the games here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. And, you know, Blake, personnel-wise, Jarrett Guarantano returns as quarterback for Tennessee, and he seems to be like a guy that's one of the better quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. Tell us a little bit more about Jarrett.
Guarantano's a talented guy. The million-dollar question with him is sort of a little bit beyond his control. What kind of protection is he going to get? In the last 2 years, he's a two-year starter now, or he started part-time in 2017 and started every game last year. He's been beat up pretty good. This offensive line, to be frank, was pretty miserable the last two seasons. And so for me, that's sort of kind of going to be some of the indication of what kind of season does he have, is how improved is that offensive line? Because when Guarantano came to Tennessee, he was billed as a dual threat quarterback, but really in actuality, he's mostly a pocket passer. He's not a guy that wants to have to improvise when the pocket's breaking down. Some quarterbacks are almost at their best when it's like that. He's not that way. He's someone that needs to have a comfortable pocket, but he does have a lot of arm strength. He throws a pretty good deep ball. He's got a veteran receiving crew. And so if his offensive line's better this year, I think he's really poised to have a good season, in particular because this year he's working with Jim Chaney, a veteran offensive coordinator, and I think those two have really hit it off pretty well. So I think this could be a step forward for Guarantano this year. And I already think he was sort of kind of a middle of the pack quarterback in the SEC. And so I think he could be poised this year to take that next step into becoming, you know, one of the top three, four or five quarterbacks in the SEC.
How does the offensive line look? Cause I saw a report that six offensive linemen for Tennessee have medically retired this year. Who are the guys that are going to be protecting them? And is that an area there of concern right now for Tennessee?
You know, the lines on both sides of the ball are the two biggest question marks for Tennessee. And it's, it's kind of a cliche because it's true. The games are won in the trenches, especially in the SEC. So that is a legitimate concern for the Vols, the fact that, you know, I would say the biggest question marks for this team are offensive and defensive line. I actually think this year the bigger question is on the defensive line. They graduated all three of their starters last year. And so there's so much turnover on that D line. There's a lot of questions there. Offensively, I think they have more talent in the line room than they've had past couple seasons. It's just a lot of it's kind of young and untested. They got two five-star freshman tackles, Wanye Morris and Darnell Wright. I would bet you'll see at least one of them, if not both of them, start in that game against BYU. And so, you know, how quickly can that five-star talent come to fruition? And then another lingering question for Tennessee is left guard Trey Smith. He was a freshman All-American in 2017. He had blood clots in his lungs last year, caused him to miss half of last season. And so the question is whether he's going to get the green light to play this year, medical-wise, or whether he's going to be held out again this season. And that, as of today, has not come down from the doctors. So that will really be a big impact on the line as well, because when he was healthy and on the field all 12 games in 2017, he was a world-class talent, and so getting him back on the field can make a big difference for the Vols offensive line.
Getting to know the foe, Tennessee Volunteers with Blake Topmeyer, who covers Tennessee, for a few more moments here. And Blake, I'm curious, with this matchup, BYU and Tennessee, it's the first time these schools have ever faced off against each other in these historic programs' histories. How were Tennessee fans, what's their feelings towards this matchup? I've seen a little bit of chatter between the fan bases on social media, read into that, but big picture wise, does the fan base at Tennessee like this matchup?
I think there's a little bit to it. You know, I think when you go back in recent years, I think the problem that this matchup has is sort of the measuring stick it's held up against. You know, last year, the Vols season opener was against West Virginia, a neutral site game, in Charlotte. The year before that, they were one of the first teams to play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, neutral site game against Georgia Tech. The year before that, they had a neutral site game at the NASCAR track in Bristol with 150,000 fans for a game against Virginia Tech. And so I think Vols fans, certainly realize that this is one of the more interesting matchups on the schedule. The fact that it's a night game, I think there is some excitement there. I really think, you know, as I was saying, the biggest thing this game has working against it is just the fact of kind of in the back of the mind, Vols fans have these memories of all these sort of big time neutral site matchups But of course, the flip side of that is you get another game in your home stadium.
Well, you can follow him on Twitter at BTopMeyer. He's covering everything Tennessee football for the Knoxville News Sentinel. Blake, we really appreciate the time, and we'll see you in a couple weeks out in Knoxville.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Big thanks to Blake Topmeyer again for hopping onto the program. Great insight from him. Offensive and defensive line is a question mark for Tennessee. I got to think those are strengths for BYU. Got to take a timeout, though. On the other side, going to get to a conversation we had two-on-one with BYU linebacker Isaiah Kafusi here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.